Hey, Thanksgiving is behind us now. Now, let's look ahead to see what the holiday season has in store. On today's show, we'll be live with a great local shop. That's United State of Indiana, a great local resource for all your indie gift recipients, as well as we're also going to be talking to the Indianapolis City Market, promoting our biggest fundraiser of the year. That's the 1950s themed market ball. So let's get started today on The Edge.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
All right, hey, welcome back to the Edge of Indy. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't caught this show before, let me tell you what the show's about. Actually, let me introduce myself first. I'm Aaron Sparks. I'm the CEO of Site Strategics, as well as Edge Media Studios. And this show we've been doing for the last year, and it's been a focus on everything that's going on in Indianapolis, looking at the movers and shakers, entrepreneurs and innovators in Indianapolis as well as Indiana. We're paying attention to those organizations and people out there helping Indianapolis be an awesome place to live, visit, and work. So we always talk about choosing local and choosing local often. Buying from Indianapolis gives you a great participation inside of your local community, and we always implore you to do that with everybody that we're interviewing on a regular basis. So that's what Edge of Indy is all about. I want to introduce to you our guests here. Very cool shop online. Let me introduce Graham Brown. He's the owner of United State of Indiana, and Grant Gilman, co-owner of United State of Indiana. Gentlemen, thank you for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
No, you're more than welcome. Hey, so you're fresh off of Black Friday, right? Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and you got something else that you threw out there. That's Hoosier Tuesday.
Yeah, you got it.
What is Hoosier Tuesday, and what does it mean to the United State of Indiana?
So Hoosier Tuesday is our big sale day, kind of after that wave of insanity. Black Friday isn't really our style. We don't have a shop of our own.
And you don't throw down
we don't do any retail riots, as I like to call it. Small Business Saturday, we try to push everyone out to the small stores in town that we love. And then Cyber Monday, like, I just don't have the gumption to do a big day on a Monday, so we give ourselves 24 hours and do it on a Tuesday. So we just came off that. That was yesterday. It was a huge day for us. And yeah, now we're, you know, the holidays are in full swing.
Fantastic. All right. So for those who are listeners and watchers for the Facebook live stream, as well as our podcast audience, who don't may know you, give us the lowdown of who United State of Indiana is.
Totally. I started the company 7 years ago. That the flag logo, that's the company logo, was the logo of a band I was in. And I saw the logo and thought, like, this is a pretty solid design. It works really well on a t-shirt, on the chest of a tee. I'd been doing screen printing in high school, always kind of interested in doing shirts. So I put the logo on some tees, came up with a name that was kind of a natural fit with that flag logo, and just rolled it small business style slowly from there. 7 years later, Grant joined in a couple years after that, so he's about 5 years in, and we're just doing the thing.
Very cool. So for those our audience who's watching and listening, you certainly want to check out UnitedStateOfIndiana.com on a second screen or a second tab, because you still want to listen to the show, right? But check out the product that they have online. It is fantastic. Great designs. So for those of you who do know the brand, right, how has the reception of Indianapolis been for what you're doing and the type of Hoosier specific product that you're putting together?
Indianapolis is definitely our biggest market. It's great to get out to a lot of events. That's kind of where people find us.
Right.
So we get to meet a ton of like cool Hoosiers out there.
Yeah, we not having a store of our own is great, kind of for it suits the style of the business and also kind of the style of our personalities.
Yeah, I don't like to leave my house, really.
Yeah, Grant, literally our whole I think people think the company is bigger than it is.
Right.
You're looking at it. For the most part, it's just the two of us. And everything, every USI product you'll ever touch started out in Grant's basement. So that works really well for us. At the same time, there is an unmatchable quality of meeting people face to face.
Fantastic.
So we get out and do events, set up booths wherever we can.
Now, there's no creep factor on the production in Grants basement.
You know, you can imply any creep factor you'd like.
Speaking of that kind of that tactical connection to so many different individuals, we were talking before going live on the show about you're working out of the speakeasy, and you have a lot of opportunity to be able to interact with startup companies and organizations that need some of that brand support, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've always wanted the company to be kind of a living advocate for other people, other things going on. You know, at the end of the day, we just make T-shirts. It's not going to change the world, but we are a really good symbol.
Yeah.
It's kind of a uniting symbol for all the things that are going on and that you can kind of piece together to see it as real forward progress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And don't sell yourself short. Or shirt, for that matter. There's the drone. Don't sell yourself, because, I mean, these kind of things are the kind of that fabric that ties people together from a local perspective. And here at Edge of Indy, we're always talking about choosing local, right? And we believe in everything local. That should be your first mindset, to buy local before anything else, right? Obviously, there's other things that you need in life, but always defer locally first to see what's happening around you. That's how you build community. That's how you keep the money in your local community. Your brand is also a leader in that shop local movement. So, I mean, we really appreciate that. Can you share a perspective of the shop local kind of initiative that you believe in and why you stepped into that role there?
Sure.
So, shopping local with us, we created these jobs for ourselves. Like, we're job creators. Mm-hmm. You know, we get the freedom now to kind of do what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't only support us spending money here in the city with us. It supports the people who screen print our stuff.
Yep.
There's a ton of people who work just in our community to make this. Mm-hmm. It's not just us two, you know.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I hear the statistics a lot. You know, people say, oh, well, if you shop at Walmart, 14 cents stays in the community. If you shop locally, 68 yep. cents. And I would encourage Indianapolis residents to remove yourself from those statistics. Mm-hmm. Who knows if those are true? And the bottom line is that Walmart and Amazon will always be the largest employer.
Right.
You know, we live in South Broderpol, and we have tons of neighbors who make their income from the Amazon warehouse.
Sure.
Amazon is serving them.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people to step away from those statistics and maybe think of it more as like shopping human.
Mm-hmm.
That your $25 that you spend on a shirt, you don't need any statistics to understand that like $12.50 goes to me and $12.50 goes to Grant.
Right,
most
right.
of it we're putting back into our jobs. But at the end of the day, if we stopped the business tomorrow, those dollars are like, they're physically here.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And that's what I think people can get energized about. You don't have to take the real macro view of it. Just think of it that $25 is physically still.
It's going down the street to pay somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the kind of community. You know, I like to even think of it as separating the city into villages. Like, pick your village. We have a good village of maybe 30 people that we kind of understand all their income because of how we work.
Right.
And I think that's really powerful to say, there's a lot of stuff in the world too big for me to change, but man, that village, I feel like I really got some control on it. You know, I feel like I'm really having an impact there.
You know, I was having a conversation with somebody here recently regarding that village mentality and that we're starting to see not only the appreciation, but we're starting to see that swing back to trying to create that village back up again, because that level of accountability, that relationship standpoint, all that has been kind of bowled through with not only the corporate realm, but also this kind of decentralization across the country. We're starting to see with these type of local initiatives, this type of growth coming back and centralizing around that local community. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope so. As long as the big things in place aren't setting up to steamroll us all,
yeah.
I think we'll be all right. But I do, yeah, it's the accountability is huge. You know, when you think if something goes wrong with your order online, it's going to be Grant who answers you, who is also the same one who packed up the shirt. So there's no way to for him to escape the accountability, you know. And I think we can all just kind of bear witness to when the owner isn't in the room and when it's only an assistant to the assistant manager in the room.
Yeah, no one ever has an answer for you, you know.
No.
Yeah, you know.
They pass the buck.
Yeah, they do. And that is where... That makes for a frustrating experience, but much more importantly, that can make for a corrupt or a really dehumanizing experience when no one needs to take accountability.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I want to reference my co-host, who's usually right here with us, but she's actually at home at sick, and we want to give her all the best wishes. But she actually has a question for you on Facebook. She says, "Hi, Graham and Grant. Do you tap into the indie community when it comes to developing the new designs? How can the community share their ideas with you?"
So a lot of people definitely share those. They email us on social media. They'll comment.
Cool.
One way, though, we don't actually design everything ourselves. We work with other local designers. That's another, you know, those are other people that we support in the community,
That's
too.
That's awesome.
So as we find people who are interested in stuff they're already making, we'll either work with them to bring their designs to a larger audience. Or we'll seek them out to develop stuff that we've come up with, you know.
Do you have the ability to you have the ability to lift up different artists and really create artist lines if they participate like that?
Yeah, totally.
Right?
And we have a few good examples of that. As you browse through our site, you can see people who, you know, neither of us have a particularly strong artistic ability. You can see this. I can do straight lines and the shape of Indiana I'm real good at. But yeah,
so that was clip art, wasn't it? You know.
Absolutely. I just Google image searched it.
No, we didn't.
If it was just us, they would all be wingdings and that would be pretty much it. So.
But yeah, as we find people who kind of are on the same wavelength as us and who can draw, we either flip through their notebook and say, "Hey, we'd love to do that on a tee or in that," or we say, "Hey, man, we have this idea for a, you know, a pizza slice in the shape of Indiana. We haven't been able to pull it off. Can you draw it?" And it's that's definitely a fun part, and that does bring the USI community beyond just the two of us to where we can, you know, we're cutting those people a check every month, and it feels good to say, "Man, we do kind of have a lot of wheels in motion."
That's
here.
Cool. Yeah, and that's great to be able to see, because that's where what you're doing can actually kind of channel. A lot of want to be entrepreneurs that didn't know how to do it, and get into the space where their product can be consumed quickly and get the affirmation back from the local community. Very cool. Well, keeping in the local spirit, we know that your next focus will be holiday sales, and it is right now.
Yep.
What can fans expect from the United States of Indiana? During the holidays, and what other local outlets would you actually encourage viewers go to tap into their gifts?
Sure.
So there's a lot of local stores around the city. Silver in the City is probably the best downtown on Mass Ave to find our stuff. James Dant in Irvington. Mm-hmm. You can find a list of all retailers on the website to shop those small retailers. You can find us in person coming up this Friday. Where is that?
At the Harrison Center.
Yeah, Harrison
Center. Right down the street from where we're at right now.
Cool.
That's from 5 to 10, I think.
That's the Indiana Handicraft Exchange. Yeah. That's this Friday.
And then next Thursday, you can find us at the Yelp Bazaar at the Central Library.
Huge.
Which is
yeah,
great.
We've got to go there. And in fact, a few of our staff, and Brittany included, are going out there. That thing's a monster.
It's wild.
It is, yeah. It is crazy.
It is the craziest day.
That was the first event we ever did at City Market.
Yeah. Yeah.
Graham was there by himself.
It was wild. Yeah, it's a disaster. I'm glad I have some help now. But if you haven't been out to the Yelp Bazaar, come out. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it. I mean, I think they say 7,000 or 8,000 people register. So if you can imagine 7,000 people in the public library, just it is like the Black Friday, except everything's local.
Everything's local.
Yeah.
And their numbers, we talked to them last week, I believe. And their numbers are looking at literally around $500,000. Gets generated in one night.
Yeah.
What, 4 or 5 hours? And it all goes local. What a fantastic just blowtorch of value there for local Indiana. So all of these are great places to be able to pick up your product. One of the watchers on Facebook, Chris Robinson, actually said, "Hey, I love your shirts. Just bought my third Hoosier Tuesday on Hoosier Tuesday."
Nice.
So,
nice.
Dude, I mean, you got a great following here, and we certainly appreciate all Facebook comments as we go through the show. Hey, what advice would you offer young entrepreneurs in Indiana from the lens of like a entrepreneur by accident mindset? What would you say to a young entrepreneur who's got an idea to start?
Embrace the I'm glad you said entrepreneur by accident, because that's certainly kind of, I've always been entrepreneurially minded.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the key to why USI has worked so well is that I've never tried to force it.
Okay.
I never wanted to tell the Indianapolis community or the Indiana community, you need this stuff. I was always just kind of searching for where they were already looking for it, mm-hmm. and then putting myself in there. And that feels really natural and, again, really human. I think people can accept that more than having advertising shoved down their face.
Right.
Or having someone trying to break on the scene saying we're going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
We've never been too concerned with traditional growth. So many friends of ours who have similar businesses are always trying to work to get a store. You know, that's the thing. We've really just tried to do what we do really well,
mm-hmm.
and growth comes out of that. So someone with a similar idea, I would say take your time. Don't try to...
There's no rush.
Don't expect to make money. I mean, just, yeah. I mean, don't, though. Like, you want to come in, just do it because you want to do it.
Right.
You know, if you're doing it on the side... And, you know, and it works out, then great. That's kind of how it worked for us.
Right.
I mean, it was just a lot of luck, really, in the end, you know?
Nope,
and we had a huge sales day yesterday. I think that would be sizable for any e-commerce website.
Mm-hmm.
And Grant and I both still drive cars that the windows don't roll up in. So, you know, like, you're still in Indiana,
right.
So, live the Hoosier lifestyle, which is live cheaply.
There it is, conservatively.
Live in a place that you can afford.
Cool.
And if it's something you're passionate about, it's no struggle to pump the money you make back into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you'll want. When you see a bank account, it's a little bigger than you expected.
Right.
You'll want to do something more instead of saying, you know, just how do I grow the bank account?
Yeah.
You know?
Good advice, very good advice, and don't get ahead of your skis, you know, and don't think so much of yourself, right? Because
that's important to stay humble for
sure.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that are responsible. I mean, to get brands or get success, and you got to also. I'm just kind of throwing it in here. You got to also appreciate everybody that's been able to help you get to the places
totally.
That you're getting to, right?
Yeah.
Well, we certainly want to give you a boost here. So why should United States of Indiana be on everybody's holiday list? And how can people find you and buy your stuff? Well, we already talked about some of the local areas, but why?
Yeah.
Why United States of Indiana?
They are pretty universal products. We definitely, the kind of the design core of what we do is trying to make stuff as universal as possible.
Cool.
A t-shirt in itself is kind of... an icon of universal fashion.
We found a lot of different categories, I think, in our designs now, too, where there's probably a gift for everyone in your life somewhere in there.
Yeah, whether they're into sports or into nerdy stuff or just into, you know, rocking kind of like a band tee, a concert tee type thing, trying to hit all those. So it's pretty easy to shop. Even, I would say, in the past year, we've really kind of blown it out to where I would be surprised if you couldn't find something for.
We're way beyond tees too.
Yeah,
I mean, pint glasses.
Yeah, all the accessories.
Oh, yeah.
Our sticker collection is massive.
Best stickers in Indiana for sure.
Wow.
Yeah. So you know, it's a lot of good stocking stuffers, and it really does. There's no trickery here. We are the owners, and we're also literally everything else.
So we're packing up every one of your orders, answering every one of your emails.
So, you know, so I hope that if there are certainly people who think $25 is a lot for a t-shirt, and I get it. But do remember when you think about, you know, that's just paying two people to put in the effort to get it in the mail to you. And it's no one's getting rich. I can tell you that much.
Well, the quality is good. The designs are custom regularly. I mean, you're also plugging in. I mean, this is where dollars do so much more than a cost savings on Walmart. And nothing against Walmart, but I mean, this goes, like we said, right back into the community. So, yeah. I mean, this is what we lift up regularly for our listeners to take that mantle and you know, practice what you preach.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a perfect opportunity to do that. So where are you located?
UnitedStateOfIndiana.com. Yeah. You can find everything there. Should be super easy to search. There's a good sale clearance section right now.
We have a discount code.
Oh, yeah. People listening, you can use Edge, EDGE. Type that in at checkout to take 15% off.
No way. I had no idea. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can go ahead and finish out your cart.
Yeah, you can keep shopping there.
I was literally shopping here, and we almost didn't start on time. Fantastic. 15% off on anything anything on in the store?
Yeah. Every order, any amount.
Fantastic. Even the tracksuit, huh?
That's right.
We were talking, and Grant has been wearing a tracksuit for the last 2 weeks, and he's been feeling very comfortable the entire time.
Yeah.
It's a good look.
It's tested.
It's very Biggie Smalls, I think.
Well, cool. So we certainly want to lift you up, and we're certainly going to give some shout-outs. And we'll pass that. How long is that Edge code going to be available?
Till the end of the year.
Dude.
I just made it before we walked in here. Did it till December 31st. So you got time. Do not order online on December 24th and expect to get it by Christmas. I'll tell you that. Have a little more preparation and respect for our holiday schedules.
There it is. It's fantastic what you're doing, and we're certainly going to dive in there. And thanks for the code, man. That's a fantastic offer. You want to track them in all the socials, so you can find them on Twitter at USI Apparel, over at Facebook at United State of Indiana, website UnitedStateOfIndiana.com, and Instagram United State of Indiana. Got all the socials right. Check for branding. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Final words to the entrepreneurs that are possibly watching the show today.
Make Indiana better. I mean, you know, a lot of people tell us, "Oh, you must love Indiana and think this is the best place in the world," right. And we don't. But we're here. So everyone out there, you know, Indiana gets a bad rep for a lot of legitimate reasons. Yeah. Make those things better. If something troubles you and you want to leave, delve into it.
It's not love it or leave it. Right. Love it or make it better until
you
do. Love
it and fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's a lot to work with here.
Very cool. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today, and appreciate what you guys are doing. And we're certainly going to lift you up. And thanks again for the code for our audience. We're certainly going to ring the bell on that one a few times this year.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you.
More than welcome. All right. Hey, we're going to be talking to the weird and wacky Paul Poteet again. We're going to check out what's on, why he's on the edge this week. Coming up.
Real life. Real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet on The Edge.
We've got Paul in the house. Paul, I've got an absent seat here, man.
Yeah, I feel kind of funny dancing with just another guy on the show. That's all right. I guess that's something that's on me, I suppose.
I had to open with that, didn't you?
where did your good friend go? Where is our co-host and executive producer?
I know. She's feeling under the weather, and we certainly give her all the prayers and good wishes to get better. But I feel like I've got a broken wing, man. Or wing woman.
So, was there a comma in there anywhere?
Comma save lives, you know? It truly does.
I feel kind of bad because, you know, I'm often not in the same room with you guys, and I was a week ago today, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah. So we wiped everything down last time you were here, so we were really conscious of the fact.
This was one of yours last week.
No, I don't think you're typhoid Paul, but you don't have a string of other infections happening. We'll just stop right there.
Not that I know of. Terrible.
Oh, my
gosh.
Terrible.
So what I did find was a string of stories on the edge, though, as I always do for you.
Absolutely. And we always welcome some edgy stories. So, Paul, what do you have in the chute this week?
This might be something for our beloved co-host to do during her convalescence, because there's no more effective at-home, you know, kind of in your bedtime killer than completing a 40,000 piece jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, I could think of a few other things besides that. 40,000 pieces. Oh my gosh.
Now, Mrs. Poteet will sometimes in the wintertime do these 500 or 1,000 pieces. I've never done one. I have, look at that guy. I do not have the patience for this, but that's Jack Brait. It was a Disney jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
20-year-old guy, and this isn't like, you know, this isn't your grandfather and grandmother working, this is a 20-year-old guy. 6 foot, the puzzle is 6 feet long, 22 foot wide.
Wow.
He began August 17th. There are 10 bags of pieces to the puzzle. Each of the bags has about 4,000 pieces. It features classic scenes from The Jungle Book, Peter Pan. There you see it.
Oh,
Bambi, Fantasia, The Lion King, Little Mermaid. And he set his iPhone timer, much as I did just a few moments ago. Only mine's going to go off a lot faster than his did. So it took him 7 days and 53 hours.
Whoa.
He previously completed the world's jigsaw puzzle in 2014 mm-hmm. with 32,000 pieces. Now he has, you know, it says that he has autism and he began building puzzles when he was 3 years old. His autism helped him excel at completing projects like this. Although I have a disability, I can still do many things. So, if you know, as I do, if you know people who have autism in their family or whatnot, sometimes they're very focused on one particular thing, or very adept at one particular thing. I, on the other hand, I've never made it, I don't think, completely through a game of Monopoly, Aaron. Have you?
Not without a lot of help and a couple beers.
Yeah, I was going to say, when he says a lot of help, everyone do that motion all at the same time.
It's for medicinal purposes only.
But he did it. I mean, 40,320 piece.
Unbelievable.
Do you start with the edges on something like that?
Oh, you have to. But I mean, literally, it's not just one puzzle. I mean, there are literally, if you look at the screenshot there, there's 10 puzzles. There are 10 different landscapes in that. Five on top, five on the bottom. So it's not only doing the edges. I mean, literally, it's so big. It's 22 foot long. That's amazing.
Just think of that. That is all that. It looks like a print or whatever, but it's all little tiny pieces. And do you put that glue on it then afterwards? Do you preserve something like that, or do you just bust it apart again for the thrill of, you know? What would you do? I mean, I think I might be inclined to just, you know, preserve it at that point.
Yeah, like put it on the side of your house. I'm just thinking, where in the world would I even assemble something like that? And you see in that video that he has a huge, giant 22 foot table, and then he put it on a wall. He actually donated it to what did he donate it to?
He donated it, I think, to an organization.
Oh, to a school.
To a school. Okay, yeah, yeah. To a school.
So they were able to put it on the wall, but I mean, just assembling that bloody thing.
If I ever get a Rubik's Cube right, I'm going to donate it to Edge of Indy, okay? I will put some kind of a glue over that and then just present it to you.
Or just change the spots on the cube. I mean, if you really want to.
Well, shout out to Jack Brait. Okay.
Wow.
Here's story number two. This is a New Mexico-based Facebook user. You know, you can do that for sale thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is always pushing me to, here's stuff for sale in your neighborhood. I don't know. Right. I don't think I ever asked for that, but I'm always getting that on my phone. But
yep.
This guy had an offer of a slightly used coffin. That was only used once.
What other kind is there?
Those are the best kind. I hate a previously owned coffin, as we like to call it in the previously owned coffin business. The ad read, serious buyers only. This is a great deal. Well, it turns out that it was a hoax. It did ignite some horrified reactions, though, while the ad was up there. There you see the ad. I like the no holds.
As opposed to holes.
That's right. Well, you don't want any holes in your coffin too, Aaron. That lets in the worms, not to keep you up at night.
How did you recycle the coffin? What did you do?
And you buy it on the used coffin market?
Oh my gosh.
Hello, this is Sammy Terry.
It's almost like you need a coffin fax, right? Oh my Lord.
Would you like to know what this coffin has really been through?
Yeah, oh, geez. Look at it. Open it up. Jim, pull that up, that second picture. Literally, there are stains in the coffin.
Yeah, are you having parties in there? What's going on with that?
You've got to be kidding me.
When he says slightly used, first of all, I'm going to quibble with that description. I mean, that looks, you know, like it's been used a little more.
A little bit, yeah.
I'm not sure why he did it, which is the case with about, with about, you know, 100% of things that you read about on the air. It says that he was trying to gauge the responses from people. What would you expect the responses from people to be? You know, you had to go through all of that. So the responses range from disgust to amusement. My God, people lighten up, wrote one user. I hate to break it to you, but everyone is going to die. I would have bought it for $60. Coffins are expensive.
Oh my gosh. Anyone in need of a used coffin with bodily fluids?
You think of all the status symbol things in the world, that's the one thing you definitely would buy just to impress other people.
Oh my God. All right.
Oh, this item is number three.
Yeah, that story's dead. Keep on going.
Dead and buried. Let's forget about it. We'll have a service for it this weekend. Everyone bring a dish to pass.
Oh my
We'll
gosh.
All meet in the basement of my church at 3 o'clock to talk about story number two. But story number three is about a guy who may be on his way to a coffin. Aaron, how long do you last if you ingest 263 coins and 100 nails? If that ends up in your stomach,
I think I can last like the full duration of the Chicago L. I mean,
here, I got it. Hey, does anybody have any change? Yeah, I do. Give me a moment. Give me 3 cups of coffee and some privacy.
There it is.
Oh. Well, the doctors discovered 200. I'm sure they described it at some point.
There was some conversation.
But they discovered, 263 coins, 100 nails inside a man's stomach because he swallowed them.
Yeah.
I can't even get Brussels sprouts down. How did he do that? Look at that. That came out of his stomach.
Oh, my Lord. There's more than change there. There's nails. There's a chain.
Oh, yeah, there's nails, there are nuts. It's like a Happy Meal from Menards in there. I mean,
my gorge just rose on that one. What in the world's wrong with me?
I mean, you know how you go to Menards, and then at the checkout, all of a sudden they have, like, things you can eat, too, you know, in addition to all the tools that you were looking at earlier. And it's like, no, this guy just combined it. You know, he's going to eat from soup to nuts instead of soup to nuts. But, and oddly enough, he eats Cadillacs, Lincolns, too, Mercurys, and Subarus. But, you know, he swallowed all of this stuff, and I guess the doctors removed it just in time. They say, because look at the x-rays.
Oh yeah, that's terrible.
It's like something happened at the vending machine. Yeah, if you feel you're not getting, if you're not getting your money's worth from this guy, just shake him for a while and maybe one of the coins will fall out. 263 coins, 100 nails. The doctor says that obviously, you know, that guy, it could have been serious or fatal eventually, because one of the nails could have lodged in his stomach lining and caused internal bleeding. But I guess he's going to be okay, unless, of course, there was any change.
Oh. You stewed on that for a good solid day, didn't you? You knew that one.
Oh. I sat there and just sat much probably like that guy did from time to time. So, have you ever, like, which reminds me, when you were a kid, did you ever, like, did something ever go through the cycle, you know, accidentally? Like, I still remember a little marble that I may have swallowed when I was a kid.
Right. We had an incident with a couple of our kids actually swallowing a magnet or ball bearing, and boom, we're at the hospital getting a nice expensive scan of the stomach. And okay, we're I think one swallowed a Lego at one point in time. I don't know what it is.
Oh my gosh.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't remember our kids swallowing anything like that, but I remember that, and eventually there was no hospital visit, but it was discovered. Anyway, that's probably all you need to know.
Yep, pretty much.
Since then, I've been really careful. And you know what we did just now, Aaron, with that segment?
What's that?
Nailed it.
Oh.
And that's what's happening this week.
Nail the coffin shut. How about that? I'll double down.
That's this episode of Pulp Protein on the Edge.
Oh, my. Thanks so much.
Scene. Okay. All right. Now we can look at the weather now that we've had that moment amongst us. That movement among
fantastic.
Us.
All right, so what are we looking at this week coming up?
Well, we are looking at temperatures. They're going to be warm for one more week, literally, as we come to you on the live stream Wednesday. It looks like we've got another week of this, generally just kind of mild Pacific fronts as opposed to the Arctic fronts. You don't want an Arctic front, because you know what happens then. But these fronts come through, and they cool us off a little bit. Like yesterday, we missed the record high by 4 degrees yesterday. It was glorious for Tuesday. Temps got up to 65. Today, we had a front move through with some clouds last night, so it's only in the 50s today. But the record or the average high this time of year is 45. So we're good till probably about Wednesday or Thursday of next week. Mm-hmm. Rain day looks like Thursday, and then again, and that's going to be pretty light on Thursday, but the weekend looks fairly nice again. Monday and Tuesday, we got rain next week, and one of the medium range models has us then looking pretty much Wednesday, or I should say Thursday of next week. For about a week after that, every day we could have highs right around freezing and low temperatures right around the teens for about a week. So that looks like it's going to start probably about Wednesday or Thursday of next week. We'll be in that cycle then for at least a week.
Well, I mean, I could speak for Brittany, who's not here, but she is not happy with that forecast. She's not wanting that cold weather. But do I hear snow coming at all?
No, sooner or later, you know, love is going to get you, and so is old man winter. So, but it doesn't look like maybe till the second half of December, or at least it's not going to happen the first week of December,
Roger that.
Put it that way. Yeah.
All righty. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for all the stories from the Edge, as well as our weekly weather update.
Brittany, I'm sorry again. We're with you in spirit.
Oh, my gosh. There's hankies. and hopefully you didn't bring that contagion in, but if you did, we just want to officially say we're sorry, Brittany.
Yeah, better luck next time.
Thanks so much for the continued weirdness from Paul Petit. Thanks. And by the way, where do our listeners find you?
As always, our listeners and viewers.
Yep, absolutely.
Because I feel like I'm being watched at paulpotit.com. I've had this feeling over and over again for the last several decades.
Kind of creepy, explain. Isn't it?
Paulpotit.com.
And you can check out everything that he's doing and much more over there. Thanks so much, Paul. And we will circle back around to you next week.
All right. See you then.
All right. Take care, buddy.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
All right. Hey, we certainly want to take a pause and appreciate Paul and all of his edgy glory. But you know what? Let's jump into our next segment because, hey, we have an organization here that's literally been in Indianapolis since 1821. It's a fantastic organization. This is the Indianapolis City Market. And I want to introduce you to our guest here. It's Joe Perrin. He is Joe Perrin, Public Relations and Events Manager of Indianapolis City Market. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Well, thanks for jumping in. Literally, the City Market, which is home for over 25 locally owned and operated small businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a little bit of the background and history of the Indianapolis City Market?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, it's been around ever since 1821. A public market was part of the original design of the city. A lot of folks don't know Indy was a planned capital.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed by a Scottish man named Alexander Ralston. That's why if you've ever been to Ralston's Draft House on Mass Ave, that's where that comes from.
Oh, wow.
It's always been a public market. It used to be kind of open air, just farmers bringing in their stuff. But then in the 1880s, the market house that we know it today was built. And there's a lot more to it back then. But we have today 34 different merchants inside the market, 28 of whom do food.
Oh, wow.
On top of that, also, you know, a barber, shoe shine, a florist, a lot of great stuff going on.
Oh, it is fantastic. And for our audience who's not been to the city market, you've got to go down there and go, take the family as well, because it's such an experience. Like we were talking about before the show, this oasis of local food and local product there right in the middle of downtown Indianapolis. And mm-hmm. you guys are doing so much on a regular basis. There are so many amazing merchants, and there's some favorite places for us to eat. Can you name some of the merchants and brands that are down there?
Yeah, we have. There are a couple of places that you'll find elsewhere, such as the Tamale Place, doing great tamales, tacos, nachos, Circle City Soups, Circle City Sweets, which they're owned by the same husband and wife duo. Circle City Sweets supplies a lot of the baked goods that you'll find at coffee shops around town.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Completely Nuts and Candy Company, which is one of our newer merchants. This is their first location in Marion County, but they've got a few in the donut counties. Those are some of the ones that you'll find elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But we like to try and be a business incubator. So we always love it when we see people that used to be in the market leave the market and spread their wings and create new great things around Indianapolis and in central Indiana. But you'll find any sort of all sorts of ethnic foods, from Indian food, Mediterranean food, Mexican food. We have a French-style creperie that does dinner and dessert crepes.
Oh, wow.
We also have, you know, you can get caffeinated at the market. You know, we have four different places, actually, that sell coffee. Cath Inc., or the creperie 3 Days in Paris, Circle City Soups, and...
Oh, I didn't know the Cath Inc. was down there. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, Cath Inc., yep, down there. They've got all sorts of great pastries. And actually, Cath Inc., one thing that's cool about Cath Inc. is that Mike, the owner... almost always has some really great handmade artifacts, all from the Holy Land, from Israel and Palestine. And I know that right now he's got some really beautiful stuff that he just got in from Egypt. So if you're looking for a really unique gift for the holidays, I would say go check out Cath Inc. there in the city market. But all sorts of stuff that you could want to find. And we really have been stressing lately, locally sourced, you know, and of course it's all locally owned.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to find a Panera or a Starbucks in the city market. Not if we can help it. But
anything wrong with those brands.
No, not at all.
But this
not
is local.
All. Yeah. But as we, you know, we were talking before with the United States of Indiana, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, going and shopping at big box places. But,
yep.
you know, if you want to support people who are producing locally, you know, it's good to keep those things in mind.
You're absolutely right. And you've been with the city market for just over a year?
Right under a year.
And there's a lot of activities that you've been doing to create more and more visibility and awareness of what's going on in the market, as well as helping the vendors there. Can you give us a little bit of insight into some of the activities that you've been doing?
Sure. So, yeah, our team, my boss, Stevie Stays, our operations and deputy director, Sandy Fischel.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great intern, Nick Boxer from Ball State. We all work together. We work really hard to do all sorts of programming, events. We do what we can to promote all of our merchants on social media, and also bringing in, you know, getting earned media. You know, me going out and doing things like this, and also having reporters come in and talk to them about the great things that they're doing. But some of the really fun things that we've been doing in this last year, and it started really in 2015 and 2016, is what we like to call creative placemaking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that is taking a space, especially public spaces, and changing them, developing them, and activating them so that they're best used for all of the community. And that can be something as simple as taking two benches in a public space and flipping them around so that they're facing each other, so that instead of two people, you know, maybe facing away from each other, you know, it might be sparking up a conversation, you know, two people that haven't met.
Mm-hmm.
And that can also be something as complex as, you know, totally redoing a public space, putting in new structures, you know, putting in, you know, new kinds of benches and new kinds of activities that are going to bring people together. Now, what we've done a lot of that at the City Market has been out on the east side. So you're thinking Market Street in Alabama,
right?
Right there where that Bike Hub YMCA is. So what we've done there, if you look out there now, we've got this really great rain garden. It doesn't look as good as it did back in July and August, but back in the 70s, when those plazas of the City Market were done,
mm-hmm.
that was just a fountain, a water fountain that worked for maybe a month when it was built in 1977, and it never worked since.
You gotta be kidding me.
For like 40 years, it sat there empty. It was a brick pit that sat there and collected water, trash, yep. and sometimes some ducks.
Yep.
And so what we did, we filled it in with gravel. We worked with a couple of great community partners. We filled it in with gravel and some box planters, put in some native Indiana plants. And so now it's this really awesome space where you can sit there, relax, eat your food, read a book, hang out with friends. We've also got, in the warmer months, we put out, Adirondack chairs. We put out cornhole sets, ping pong tables. We've got two really great bocce ball courts there that you can play. And we've actually got the rules of bocce on a wall right next to it. So if you don't know, you can learn.
Who needs rules? Come on.
Yeah, you just wing it. But just as downtown Indy grows, and it's growing incredibly quickly, as it grows and people move back to downtown, we're just trying to make the City Market be a place where everybody can come and, you know, have fun, relax, be with other people, you know, experience Indianapolis, as well as get some great food and some great drinks.
Now, you told me a particular story about some somewhat unknown rules of open carry from some of the local tapestries down there, and kind of a mutual relationship of food and beer. So give us the ecosystem there.
Yeah, so we have one of the great gems in the City Market that we have, if you're 21 and over, is Tomlinson Tap Room.
Mm-hmm.
And Tomlinson Tap Room is an all Indiana craft beer bar, and so you'll never find Bell's or Founders or Rheingeist in there. It's all the great Indiana craft beers that we have in this state, as well as a few Indiana wines, but mostly focusing on the beer. But as you're mentioning, Indianapolis is lacking in some open carry laws, so
right.
One of the great things that we have is that if you're interested in hanging out on our great plazas that we have, you can go up to Tomlinson Tap Room, ask for a pint of great Indiana craft beer in a plastic to-go cup, and then take it out and hang out on one of our plazas. But the key is that when you take it out, you can't take it back in. So
not a worry.
Yeah.
They've got more to consume.
Exactly.
So have a drink outside and enjoy the atmosphere.
Yep.
And conversely, you also told me about one of the vendors there actually bringing some food into the restaurant.
Yeah. So if you are up in Tomlinson Tap Room, Tuesdays through Saturdays around dinner time, and you know, you're hanging out getting a beer and you decide you want some food, Gomez Barbecue, which is one of our newest merchants, has dinner menus up there. You can order food from Gomez at Tomlinson Tap Room's bar, and you can pay there, and they will run the food up to you. And Mike Gomez, the owner, is a great guy doing some great Indiana craft barbecue. It's not Kansas City. It's not Texas barbecue. It's Indiana craft barbecue. It's its own new thing.
No. And that deserves its own expose on the show to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Definitely
but,
does.
But just a great connection between two vendors and just experience. I mean, what a great weaving of relationship that you're seeing down there. That's that's fantastic. So we want to you're here as well to bring attention to the upcoming biggest fundraiser that you have, and that's the Market Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now it sounds like a terrific event. So can you tell us a little bit about that? That's coming up this Saturday, December 9th, right?
Yes. Yeah. So about a week and a half out now.
Mm-hmm.
Market Ball is a reiteration. I don't think reiteration is a word. It is a new form of an event from decades past that was called To Market Ball.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of came about in decades past when then-Mayor Dick Lugar got together with a lot of community partners and to save the City Market. Because back before historic preservation was a thing, people thought, you know, this building from the 19th century, we don't need this anymore. Let's build another in my opinion, disgusting, a disgusting testament to 1960s architecture. But, you know, the community came together. They said, no, we love this building. It's an incredible institution in this city. We need to save it. Mm-hmm. And so To Market Ball existed for a couple of decades and was a really great fundraiser for the city market. We brought it back last year as Market Ball. As you see, it's lacking in a few letters. But Market Ball is our way to celebrate the City Market House. Last year, we celebrated the 130th birthday of that historic market house, and we celebrated it with a great steampunk party. This is actually one of the logos from last year.
Too cool.
But it's a great one. So last year, we celebrated 130 years. This year, it's 131. But the other interesting thing about this year is that this year, a couple weeks ago, November 14th, we celebrated, we honored, really, the 60th anniversary of the last show that was ever held in Tomlinson Hall. So as I said, when the City Market House was built, there was a lot more to it. There used to be some more structures for market space, but there was also this magnificent building called Tomlinson Hall. It looked kind of what the Athenaeum looks like,
sure.
A massive, you know, kind of Germanic architecture brick building. It was beautiful. And it was the original concept of a convention center, and it held, you know, presidents spoke at Tomlinson Hall. One of the first publicly attended basketball games in the Midwest was held at Tomlinson Hall. Yale versus the YMCA. I think Yale won about 33-13.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it was this incredible building, and unfortunately, we lost it to a fire, a horrible fire in January 58. But before that, there was one concert that was held there, the Fantabulous Rock and Roll Show of 57. It was the evening of November 14th, 1957. It was over 50 different musical acts. Most namely, Ray Charles, Bo Diddley, Joe Turner, and a lot of other really, really big stars of the time. So in honor of that 60th anniversary of that last show, this year Market Ball is themed after the 1950s rock and roll scene. So, you know, come out and be Marty McFly and rock the Chuck Berry out. It is our biggest fundraiser of the year. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, this fundraiser goes a long way towards helping us do building upkeep. Operations, programming, the events that we try to put on for the community, as well as a lot of the creative placemaking I was talking about.
I had no idea that that the City Market was a nonprofit 501c3. That's fantastic. So it will really benefit the City Market in a number of ways. For upkeep and everything, can you also expand on that fundraiser and how else it will be utilized?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of what we want to do, I mean, there are so many things. Mm-hmm. That it's an old building. She's an old girl, and a lot of things needing done. You know, we have windowsills that are in desperate need of replacement, and just so many things that we don't have the money for. And the Market Ball, the money that we bring in from Market Ball goes a long way towards helping us do those renovations. They have to be done in a historically accurate way, that it's a historically protected building.
Right.
So it's complex to do that kind of stuff. But also, like I said, we're trying to do all sorts of events, and the money we bring in from Market Ball helps us do that. So whether it's we work with the YMCA and do public yoga classes or public fitness classes. We want to do healthy cooking classes. When we have the farmers market, we do the original farmers market every Wednesday, May through October.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we want to do public cooking classes. So you come down and you buy, you know, all of this great Indiana grown produce. But, you know, and we want to bring in chefs that will show you, here's what you can do to help make a healthy meal for you and your family and with all of these things that you can buy right here. We want to do things, all those things like that, to really
That's awesome.
Help serve the community. Because we want to be more than a place where people just come and eat lunch and get out. We want to be a place not where people, you know, come and hang out and do these things, but also where they can come and benefit and learn, you know, new skills. And that will really just help continue making Indianapolis a really great place to live.
Excellent. Well, we certainly would request everybody to check out the Market Ball fundraiser. And so where can they go to get tickets for the event?
Yeah, so you can go to www.marketball, MarketBall, marketballindy.com to find more information on the event. And you can get a link to the ticket website from there. We do our tickets through Brown Paper Tickets. We're going to have all sorts of fun stuff. The ticket's going to get you complimentary drinks, samples from a number of City Market vendors, food samples, as well as our florist, the Flower Boys, will be giving out free single-stem roses to everybody that comes. So
very cool.
Give a rose to someone special. And we will also have, we'll have a great silent auction going on. We will have chamber music band performing. They're a local R&B group. If you're not familiar with them, they're actually made up of members of the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce.
Huh.
And they're an incredible group that performs. They're going to come and play some of their own really popular covers, as well as some great 1950s rock and roll covers, too. So it should be a really fun party, a lot of fun stuff going on. And we're actually going to be premiering, this is the first time I've said this in a great public forum, we're going to have a really fun kind of duck pin-sized bowling lane that we're going to be rolling out that event. So it's something that we're hoping to have out all the time. But this will be the first time you can see it. It was built by the great students at Ball State University's Senior Architecture and Urban Planning Capstone Program.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, everybody has to go check out Market Ball. So go to the URLs that we were talking about, and we'll throw those certainly in the show notes. For viewers who may not be able to, not making it to City Market on a regular basis, can you put a call to action as to why it's a great local treasure that needs to be tapped into and supported?
The Indianapolis City Market, it's really... I've had it described to me by a friend as the heart of downtown Indy. You know, when a lot of people think of downtown Indy, you think of the Soldiers and Sailors Monument, but the City Market has been there since the very beginning. It's a great place where everybody's welcome to come and hang out and experience what it is to be around in Indianapolis. And it's just a piece of Indiana history that we really need to work hard to preserve and beautify and lift up in the community. It's a real treasure that I have been blessed to work with and work for and around. And the way my boss put it to me when I first started on the team is this is an institution that has been around long before us and it'll be around long after us. And we are just lucky enough to be a little bit of its history. So,
fantastic. Yeah,
and anything that people can do, you know, monetary support is always great, but, you know, coming down and, even just, you know, experiencing that, you can support the City Market by even just coming and hanging out and, you know, telling people to come, telling more people to come and hang out.
Yeah. And that's also, I mean, that's something for one, as we talk about choosing local and the responsibility of our citizens is, we certainly want you to come down and participate in the local vendors, right? Yep. But also just getting the word out, and part of your kind of civic duty, for lack of a better description, is making sure that your friends are aware of what's happening. So make sure you come down to City Market, participate, go lift up the vendors that are there, because they're certainly investing in the marketplace, and they are always looking to be able to succeed, and it's just a fantastic atmosphere to go and eat and meet and have some fun. So Joe, we're certainly appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
And I tell you what, it's fantastic to see you. So we're going to actually have the URLs up on the site. Go over to www.indycm.com to check out everything over at the City Market. You can find them on the socials at IndyCM on Twitter, IndyCM on Facebook, and IndyCM on Instagram. Boy, we have got some great branding happening with these different guests that we have on there. So final points, maybe you can close out the show with some final thoughts of why to choose local.
Yeah, when you choose local, you know, as the fellows from United State of Indiana were saying, every time you choose local, so much of that is going back to your community. You know, you are supporting, you know, people you see on the street. You are supporting your community, and so whether it's, you know, buying from United State of Indiana or there are a couple of really great clothing producers here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supporting responsible labor, you know, responsible businesses, local businesses, or, you know, coming down and buying food from local businesses. You know, as we said, there's nothing wrong with buying from big boxes, but, you know, if you love your community, you need to work to lift it up. And a lot of that is supporting local. And, you know, supporting local feels good. It makes you feel good.
It does, because you can see your money and your efforts at work.
Yep.
Right there. Well said, Joe. Thanks so much. And we're certainly going to be lifting up City Market on a regular basis. And let us know whenever other activities are happening.
You bet I will.
All righty. Well, we certainly thank you very much for watching Edge of Indy. And pay attention to everybody that we're talking to on a regular basis, as well as the older episodes. Go and choose local and choose local often. So we just want to say thanks so much for watching. And go check out Market Ball and all of our friends over over in United State of Indiana. For Brittany, absent here, as well as myself, I just want to say thanks so much, and tune in next week to Edge of Indy. Take care.